Are you ready to hear God's word?
Yes. Amen. Okay. You know, English is not my native language, so you can correct me if you. I'm not gonna be upset. Okay, it's gonna help me. Okay, I have a message today, and I will ask Stan if he can read it because he has a wonderful voice. Can you read it for us?
First Thessalonians 5:16 through 22. 16, always be joyful. Never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Do not scoff at prophecies, but test everything that is said. Hold on to what is good. Stay away from every kind of evil.
This is what I'm going to be sharing today. And also, I want to tell you something about my life. My wife and I, my wife is the one who was singing with me. She has a gift in her voice that I'm very blessed every time I hear her. I was a missionary for 30 years in Guatemala. I'm originally born in Peru. And when I went to Guatemala with an American organization where I was working as a missionary. They were from Jacksonville, Florida. And they went as a missionaries to Costa Rica first. And later they went to Ecuador. So one day, one missionary told me, "Do you want to work with me? Do you want to work with us? He told me, we're going to Ecuador." I was originally born in Peru. And by that time, I was living in Costa Rica, where the Bible school was founded. So one day he told me, "Do you want to go to Ecuador? We're going to plant a Bible school there." And I said, "Well, I don't know. I have to finish my high school. And I don't know if God wants me to go to Ecuador." And he told me, "Well, the Bible says go to all the world." He told me, "It's already there," he told me. "So if you want to go, it's already there." So this missionary, this American missionary, was trying to convince me. So when he showed me the verse, you know, by that time, I didn't have a father. He died when I was 10, and he became a great influence in my life. So he told me, "It's in the Bible. Go to all the world and preach the gospel." So he said, "You don't have to pray about it," he told me. So I was 17 years old. And I went to Ecuador when I was 18 years old. That was my first mission experience. And I praise the Lord because when I was with those missionaries from the United States, the Lord prepared my heart. Later they told me, "We're going to plant another Bible school in Guatemala. Do you want to go?" I said, "Okay, let's go." And this is where I met my beautiful wife, Janina. And we got married after that, and we planted a church. We have helped for many years in Guatemala girls that are rescued from sexual exploitation. And right now we're building little by little facilities for our ministry so we can help those kind of girls and even young generation. We can train them in the Word. We can train them in music. We can train them in something that they can, when they grow, they know how to do a work, a job in their lives. That's our heart. So we're still in missions over there, but right now I live in USA. So 2 years ago I came because my daughter, she told me that in my birthday. She said, "Dad, do you want to come to USA to be with us?" I said, "Okay." I said, "Well," she told me, "I already ask you for your residence. So this is your gift for your birthday." So it was an amazing. So when we came here, it was such an experience, a big experience for us. We had a very quiet life in our country. We already have a house and everything, but we have to start all over again here. And I praise the Lord and I give all the glory because I have met beautiful people here in Calvary Chapel of Lisbon. And I am very blessed. We have been, we planted a church even in Guatemala. From our church came another church to Colombia, and the Lord has always helped us to be a blessing and to just use our gifts to bless other ministries and to help pastors and to help people. And that's our heart. Our heart over the years is just to help others, to be there when the Lord needs us, like today. Like the pastor called me and say, "Hey, can you help me?" Say, "Here I am, Lord." I said, "Here I am when I was 18 years old." I'm still here. Amen. So we're gonna talk about we have some outline of the message. I will ask Roger. Yes. So that's the title of the message. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. Amen. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. That will be my message today. The King James Version, it says something different. I think it says, quench not the Spirit, right? Quench not the Spirit, right? Stifle means restrain, hold back, prevent, or constrain. That's what the Bible said. Do not stifle the Holy Spirit. When I went to Guatemala as a missionary, like 35 years ago, I was in my 20s, and I think I had probably like a month in that country. One day they invite me to preach. I was 20 years old, and somebody invited me to preach. Well, I said, "How do I go to your place?" She said, "Oh, you need to take this bus, and I took like two buses to get there, and I went to preach, and my second bus, and I took it to be there, it was full of people, and I was kind of like in the door, you know, like a sardines, you know, you know, can imagine Latin America, some buses like that, so I was like a sardine, but I was kind of like in the door, and the bus was going like crazy, and I was there, and I began to look the people. And I was in the door, and I began to look at the people. And I just felt a voice that told me, "Preach it. Preach to them." I said, "Oh, no." I said, "Oh, no." "Preach to them." I said, "Oh, no, Lord." And the word just came to my heart. "Preach to them." I said, "Okay, Lord. I want to preach to them, but I'm not going to make the altar call in the bus." You know what I mean? I'm not going to say if somebody wants to receive Jesus now. I'm just going to preach, Lord. Okay? I'm going to leave it to them. So, and I went, "Oh, Lord, anoint my life. Please fill me with your Holy Spirit." And my heart was going like crazy. And so I looked to them and I lifted my voice and I began to preach to them. And I was like 4 minutes preaching. And after I finished my 5 minutes preaching, I was so anointed by God, by his Holy Spirit, that I said, "If somebody wants to receive Jesus Christ, lift your hands up." And with one eye, I was kind of like, just looking there, you know. And one people raised their hand. Another people, like five people in the bus, raised their hand to receive Jesus Christ. And I prayed with them in the bus. And you know what? One woman, while I was preaching, one woman was praying. She was probably like 55 years old. She was praying and praying, and I was preaching for those 5 minutes, and she was, "Oh, Lord." And when I went, and the bus stopped, and I said, "Oh, this is where I have to get down." I was so nervous. I have never done that in my life. And the woman went down in the same place, and she gave me a paper. He told me, "You're a servant of the Lord. Anything you need, this is my phone." She gave me her phone number, and I say, "Thank you." I just put it in my wallet. I say, "Thank you so much." And I went to preach. And remember, I was 1 month in that country, Guatemala, where my wife is, just 1 month, and I didn't know anything. So after I finished my preaching, I stayed with the people and I talked to the people and I prayed with, I talked to the pastor, I prayed, I talked with the people, prayed for everybody, and I just went, I thought that I was in, in other country, you know, in Lima, Peru, where I was born, they have night life. You know, there's a lot of life at night. It can be 3 o'clock. And there's people walking. Guatemala, they are scared of everything because there's a lot of violence. So I was kind of like 11:30 p.m. waiting for a bus, and the bus never came. Never came. 12 o'clock, never came. 12:30 a.m., never came the bus. So, Lord, what am I going to do? And I remember that I had that paper with a phone number. 1 month in Guatemala, didn't know anybody. So I called her, say, lady, I'm lost. I don't know what to do. Can you find me a taxi or a car, whatever, where I can go to my house? And she said, where are you? I told her where I am, and she came with her husband. They picked me up, and they told me, you're going to stay in our house. So they took me to their house. In the morning, they gave me a great breakfast. 8 o'clock, I said, bye, and I went to my house. And that was a great lesson for me, because sometimes we stifle the Holy Spirit. And sometimes the Holy Spirit gives us a voice. And we don't know after when we obey that voice, what is going to come. And for that reason, we don't have to do not stifle the Holy Spirit. When he put something in your heart, sometimes it's not a voice. Sometimes it's just a feeling in your heart that the Lord puts in your heart. You know, some people think that the Lord always has to speak like with a voice, a strong, hey, my dear daughter, my dear son, you have to do this. No, sometimes he just put something in your heart from the Holy Spirit that you need to obey. Amen. And when you obey that, another doors are going to open. Another doors of blessing and grace. So, when I read this verse, do not stifle the Holy Spirit, that verse, it was in the heart of all those verses, and we're going to see it. So, sometimes we want to know how we quench the Holy Spirit. And when we don't do some of these things, we're going to quench the Holy Spirit. So the first thing that we have to do is be joyful. Number one, always be what? Joyful. Joyful. Now, there are things that can restrain joy. For example, unrepented sin. It can restrain joy. And for that reason, David in Psalms 51, when he prayed to the Lord, cleanse me and make me again like a white as a snow, he said, and give me back the joy of my salvation. Because when we have unrepented sin, we lose the joy of our salvation. We need to come back to the Lord. He said, Lord, forgive me. I cannot hide this from you. As every young guy, I was Christian when I was in my teen years, but I was not living right. And one day, and I was starting to preach, and I was starting to sing, I was starting to lead worship, and one day I had a vision of myself. I had a vision of myself leading the worship, but without anointing. Preaching, but without anointing. And the Lord told me, there's something in your life that you have to fix. And it was a very sad vision to see myself, kind of like leading the worship, but without the Holy Spirit in the presence of the Lord. And I went to my knees and I said, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me. I'm not going to hide this sin, because unrepented sin can take us the joy of our salvation. So we need to come back to the Lord. worry and anxiety also. And that's the reason that we need to trust the Lord every day in our lives. Having improper or unrealistic expectations right now with social media, where we are seeing the life of so many people, we get discouraged because our lives are not prepared or designed by God that we can see so many people's life. You know what I mean? This guy went to vacation. These people, this family went to eat. This family, they hug in the room. And everybody's kissing and everybody's eating and everybody has, you know, great moments. Your mind is not designed for that. And sometimes you become with unrealistic expectations of your life. Because people, they see so in love in the social media that sometimes your wife can tell you, he loves her so much. And when my wife tells me that, I say, in Facebook, I tell her. Because sometimes it's not the truth. Sometimes it's just pictures. And we don't know how much they are fighting. And sometimes we have these expectations that are unrealistic expectations. And they take us the joy of our life. A spiritual attacks from people. And suddenly we don't understand that the attack comes from the enemy. It's not just with the people. Ephesians chapter 6 verse 10, it says that we don't have war against people, but against principalities. And sometimes we think that the people is doing harm to us. But you know, the people are being used by the enemy to do something to you. But you need to have the whole picture. Envy can take us the joy of our Christian walk when we see all those lives as I have said. So be joyful. Rejoice in the Lord. Amen. Be loud in worshiping the Lord. Dance in your house. Have some move. I remember when I met with my children every Friday. We had a meeting with my children. And it was not easy. I have my daughter here and my son-in-law here. It's so good to have you here, guys. When we put music and we dance in our house, and they, you know, we were so happy. Jose! And they were having fun in our house. You know, it was easy to have a meeting every Friday. No, it was not easy. Sometimes I had a fight with my wife before, like Thursday. Had a fight with my wife. Oh my God, I had a meeting with my children and with my family tomorrow. And we had to pray, to be together, to dance with our children. Just have some joy of life. I love to hear people that even don't believe in God. Atheists, right? That's how you say. How do you say? Atheists, that thing. And I like to hear them, you know. Agnostics, sometimes I hear when they debate with theologians or Christians. But there is one thing that I haven't seen in them. One thing that I haven't seen in them. Joy. One thing that I haven't seen in them. And make me think that sometimes that path is not the best for your life. Having the joy of the Lord is the best for your life. The best, remember, that you can give to your children. Number two, if I don't finish, if another time pastor invites me, I will give you the second part. Okay. Number two, never stop praying. Never stop praying. You know, one day I wonder, what is this verb, never stop praying? How can you do that? You know, and when I was reading Paul, all the epistles of Paul, I found something very interesting that Paul said, I pray for you every time you come into my mind. Every time that I remember you, You are in my prayers. So I said, oh, when I remember people, God is putting those people in my heart. So that's the time when I pray. I can be cooking, I can be traveling, I can be in my car. Sometimes somebody comes in my mind. Christine comes in my mind. Oliver comes in my mind. Amen? Amen. Karen comes into my mind. So this is the time that I'm going to pray. It says, never stop praying. So that's the way to pray for people. Now, all of us are different, and we need to find out what works best for us concerning the prayer time. When I read the biographies of missionaries, I was very disappointed because I was reading that some missionaries went to Africa and they were praying 4 hours on their knees. And I tried to pray one time 10 minutes and I couldn't make it. So how did they did it, you know? I think I'm getting excited preaching. how they did it? 3 hours in their knees, you know? I can't do it 10 minutes. But I found out that walking, going outside, it was easy for me to pray to the Lord. So when I walk, I can see the heavens. Thank you, Lord, for your heaven. You're the creator, and I'm walking. I can see the trees. You know, I can see a dog. I can see the people. And for my personality, it worked better to be outside. But probably for you, it works better to be in your office. Amen? I don't know. Everybody's different. So you don't need to have any condemnation because you are different. God made you different. Praise the Lord. Amen? And you need to find out what it better work for you concerning prayer. The Lord wants to always speak to us in prayer. I will say this humbly, and one morning, I would love to do it every day, but sometimes I don't do it. But I remember that week I was very early going to walk, and I began to pray for my family. As a normal family with our children, we debate, we have strong conversations, and sometimes politics, religion, you know, can divide us. There's nothing new. Probably you have had the same experience with family and with friends. So I was praying one morning. I was praying the prayer of the Lord, like Matthew 6. Father, you are in heaven. Hallowed be your name. Let your kingdom come. Your will be done, right? And I was praying, your kingdom come from my children. I was praying for my children, each of them, for my grandchildren. I was praying for the church, for you, for Ron, for Pastor Ron, for his family. But when I was praying for my family, the Lord put something in my heart. Because I saw that sometimes these discussions, this conversation about politics and religion, even religion can, you know, bring some conflict. And the Lord just put in something in my heart. Your birthday is coming. You need to get your children together. And he told me step by step what I had to do. Step by step. And I began to pray for them. Well, my birthday came, August 21. We got all together. And it was a beautiful, beautiful afternoon. And I believe by the Holy Spirit that that word was from God. Because a different peace came that afternoon. I think something that was wrong, the Lord fixed it. Where it started? In prayer. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come for my family. Let your kingdom come. Now, the other day, my daughter that is here, she told me, she wrote us to everybody, say, hey, I have something from the Lord. Why don't we get together in for Thanksgiving, because they live like 3 hours from here, 2 hours from here. And my daughter, she and my son-in-law, they rented a house in Tampa, and we're gonna be together in November, right? We're gonna be together. And I know that is the Lord that put that in your heart, because everything started with God. It's with a time of prayer. And he begins to, you know what is the kingdom? The kingdom is, the Bible says that the kingdom is peace, joy, and justice. So when there is a strife, with contention, his kingdom can bring peace, can bring joy. Let your kingdom come. Do you say an amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay, what number we are? Number three. Can you read it for me? One, two, three. Amen. Be thankful in all circumstances. This verse in the past hit me very bad, because I was thinking, how can I give thanks for bad things? I will put it this way. When bad things happen, you can give thanks because you learn from those experiences. So you always can be thankful. And when good things happen, you can be thankful because the Lord is blessing you. And you can recognize that the blessing comes from above, from the Lord. So you can be thankful in good times and in bad times. Remember Job in the Bible, he said, I bless the Lord, he says, because he gave him, he can take again. But I will bless him. I will bless him. So sometimes God has to give us a shake-up so we can see that there is another way to do things. And when we have a shake-up, like an earthquake in our lives that change our lives, it's very hard. And we don't understand how we can give thanks in that time. My car, like 2 or 3 months ago, just died. And I paid, to be honest, I can't tell you how much I pay for my car. I should buy another car. And the first time that I paid, they told me, your car has something like this. And it was a good dealership, very recognized. And he said, we're going to charge you $1,200. Okay, pay $1,200. Began to drive because my work, by that time, was driving. And one day I was in the villages. Boom. Oh, Lord, what do I do? And I have to work right now. So by the grace of God, I went to that place, gave the thing, the delivery that I had to put in that place, came back to my house, and didn't work the $1,200. Later, I took it to other place. They charged me $1,800. Didn't work. Again, they couldn't. Didn't work. They told me, we changed this, but the lights are still there. The engine is a problem. What am I going to pay you? Because we changed all these, parts. Oh, Lord. Pay another $2,000 to fix it. Didn't work. I drove it for 1 week, and boom, I was going to give a class. Voice lessons here in the house by Fruitland Park, and I felt that my car was not good. Well, I said I have to think what I'm gonna do. It's too much money. And I was driving my wife's car, and I was in a red light, trying to see if cars are coming. I can turn to the right. And somebody, boom, hit me from the back. So right now, suddenly, we are without cars. And we get a good deal for my wife's car, because the people that hit us from the back, they were honest people, and they paid my wife's car. I was 21 days without a car. And I thought, what am I going to do? How am I going to work? You know, and I said, how am I going to pay all my bills? No cars. And I have some angels, you know, that helped me to like Karen, thank you so much, who brought us 2 times to the church. And also Clay and Maricelli, that I have their son as a student. And Maricelli told me, you don't have to come to my house. We can go to your house. So I began to give classes on my house too. And many people that I gave classes in their house, they came to my house. And for 21 days, I saw God's provision. He worked it away. And you know what? In the beginning, it was hard. It was kind of like an earthquake. But the Lord, after I saw that, I said, you know, I don't have to do this job anymore. Seems like the Lord is showing me something different. Seems like with this bad experience, I'm learning something. And I have to do, right now, all what I did these last 2 years in the U.S., I'm not going to do it. Because the Lord is showing me something different. And sometimes we don't understand until that shake-up comes into our life, that earthquake, and move our circumstances. Because sometimes we don't hear the Holy Spirit. And the Lord has to bring circumstances so we can change. Say ajayay or praise the Lord, whatever you say. So, be thankful, because if you're experiencing an earthquake in your life, it's moving some things that you didn't expect, it's because the Lord is going to do something new in your life. And you can give thanks in all circumstances. Amen? What time is it? Okay, 11. That's tough time. Okay. Yes, yeah, we'll tell you. That's good. Okay, we'll try to finish when Pastor finishes or before. I think I'm going to finish before. So do not scoff at prophecies. Amen? That's where we are right now? Number 4. Okay. It's very important that we understand that prophecy just means a message from God. Like in the charismatic movement, sometimes people gave prophecies, and they stood up of they get this says the Lord, and they opened their mouths, and we have a tendency to think that prophecies only come in that format, but prophecies can come in different forms. It can be a message from God. It can be somebody that share his heart or the word of God with you, and God is using that person. And remember, in the Bible, God used a donkey to give a message to somebody, right? One day, an unbeliever gave me a message about how not to worry. My friend, he was not walking with God. He wasn't, you know, he was not a good husband. He was not a good, you know. And one day he told me, you know, Roger, he told me, I trust God, he told me, that he always going to provide for my life. He always going to give me job. He always going to give me work to do. He will feed me. He will dress me, because I trust the Lord. And it was like, woo. And the Lord was speaking to me through my friend. God can't use anybody. There's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 that it says, for we know in part, and we prophesy in part. You know, sometimes the Lord can use anybody to say something to your heart. It can be a preaching, can be a brother, can be a sister, can be a person. So this is what the Lord always tells us. Point number 4, do not prophesy, because we have that tendency, no, he's saying this, he's preaching. No, the Lord said, just guard your heart to not have that kind of attitude. Just be open. But in the same verse, the Lord says also, test everything that is said. So, and this is the good thing that I love about Ron, our pastor, that, you know, he's very humble. When he preaches, after he preached, he said, you know, guys, if you have something, another point of view that you want to share me from the Word of God, you know, something that I don't see, we can talk about it. Have you heard him say that? He said, I have not heard that in any pastor, because some pastors, they think they are popes, very authoritative, you know. What they say is like that. But when I came to this beautiful and small church, we got a pastor that said, you know, you can talk with me. You can talk. Just share what you see in the Bible. If you see, you have a verse, you see something different, talk to me. I was very blessed by that attitude, because it's a humble attitude that we can learn from one another. So the Bible says, even that you don't scoff prophecies, said, test everything that is said. Test it. But when you test it, hold on to what is good. So, see, the Lord is always working with our hearts, because we can begin to have bad attitudes. She just said this. He just said that it's a word from the Lord. But as the Lord said, take the good. Have a positive mind. Take the good. Hold on to what is good. So we need to take the good. Have that Berean spirit from that church in Acts. Amen? And the last one, I will finish. Stay away from every kind of evil. Amen? Every ideology that bring and make us do evil, we need to stay away from it, because it's not from the Lord. And the Lord tells us, stay away from every kind of evil. The human race is just divided in two kinds of people: the ones who kill and the ones who don't kill. You see the history about Cain, right? And where's the other one? Abel. You know? That's a human race. One is envy, you know? And one kills. And the other follows God. That's the division. And we have to use our Christianity not to hate anybody. We can have our positions strong in the Bible, but we don't spread hate. Even the person can think different than we are thinking. We need to share the love of Christ. But we need to be radical in our beliefs. And it's a balance that is not easy sometimes, but the Lord will teach us. So stay away from every kind of evil. Every kind of evil in your job, in your corporation, in your family, anything that you can do to harm others, stay away, because that's a seed, a bad seed for your life. And we need to be kind. We need to give love. We need to be merciful. We need to be givers. Amen? So I will finish with this. Number one, always be joyful. Number two, never stop praying. Number three, and number four, do not scoff prophecy. Number five, and number six, stay away from every kind of evil. So I think if we do these things correctly, we're not going to stifle the Holy Spirit. We need to be thankful. We need to not have unrealistic expectations. We need to live the now. You know, one day, one people, they were fighting about, you know, the country is bad and we have this. And I said one day, I told them, you know what? Right now, the company that I was, they told me, you have made 5,000 deliveries in 2 years. I have made 5,000 deliveries. And you know what? I told him, I have found only one person that treat me bad. One person in 5,000. You know what I said to him? What you see in the news sometimes is not your reality. You need to live your reality. You're living too much in other people's life. You're living in Washington and you are in Florida. And sometimes, you know, the news and the influencers in YouTube, all these kind of people make us think that this is a different world. We don't enjoy what God has put us in front, which is your brothers and sisters, your church, your pastor, your family, your children, the life you have. We need to be thankful. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we give you thanks and all the glory for good times, for all the blessings, but also because we're learning from those little earthquakes that came into our lives and has changed circumstances. But we trust you, Lord. We know that you know better than us. You know our future. Let's take a time just to rest in the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.